From MacEyeLife.com, it's The Digital Hub with Jim Hyde.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Digital Hub. I'm your host, Jim Hyde, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the inaugural edition, The Maiden Voyage, version 1.0 of my podcast. And I know exactly what a lot of you are saying. Oh boy, another technology podcast, because there really aren't enough of those out there right now. Well, why should you add another podcast to your listening diet? The Digital Hub is going to focus exclusively on Apple's iLife software. That's iTunes, iPhoto, iMovie, iDVD, GarageBand, and now iWeb, and related digital media topics, digital photography, digital video, all the fun stuff that uses up disk space. And I should also point out that this is an enhanced podcast. That means that if you're playing it back using Apple's iTunes software, you will be able to see throughout the show visuals that are synchronized with my ramblings. And in fact, if you play the podcast back on any iPod capable of displaying photos, you'll see those same visuals on your iPod screen. Now, there's another reason that I decided to launch the Digital Hub when I did, and that reason is that Apple has made it easier than ever to create enhanced podcasts on the Mac. I'm talking, of course, about GarageBand 3, the new version of Apple's GarageBand software, which is part of iLife 06. Yes, iLife 06 is here. Some guy wearing blue jeans and a black tee introduced it during his opening keynote address at the Macworld Expo in San Francisco. And it is iLife 06 that we're going to be focusing on in this edition of the Digital Hub. We'll take a whirlwind tour of some of iLife 06's new features. We'll focus in on some of my favorite new features in iPhoto 6. And then we'll take a listen to some of the new features in GarageBand 3. We'll do all that and more starting in about 15 seconds. This is The Digital Hub. I'm Jim Hyde.
The Digital Hub is brought to you by Sell It on eBay, a guide to successful online auctions by Jim Hyde and Toby Molina. Got stuff to sell? Sell it on eBay. Learn more at ebaymatters.com.
Well, of course, I've got to take that opportunity to plug my other book. It's called Sell It on eBay, which I co-authored with my very good friend, Toby Molina. She's really the eBay brains of the family. I'm basically the guy who knows how to put words together. If you like my iLife books, if you like the way they're laid out and set up with the two-page spreads and the color illustrations, the very visual approach, you'll love Sell It on eBay because it's set up in the exact same way. And the new edition, the second edition, has been out for just a couple of months. It's completely revised for all the latest eBay selling techniques. I use eBay myself to satisfy my addiction for digital cameras. Whenever some hot new camera comes out, I sell one of my old ones and buy a new one. Check out the book at ebaymatters.com, which is a blog that Toby maintains. All right, enough of this frivolity. Let's talk iLife 06. And I should remind you that if you have not yet grabbed the exclusive first look at iLife 06 that I prepared, go to MacEyeLife.com right now and grab the PDF download. We are distributing thousands of these in hard copy form at the Macworld Expo this week. You can pick them up at the Peach Pit Press booth. If you're not going to be in San Francisco, grab the PDF. It's gorgeous. It's a 16-page look at the new features in iLife 06, and 14 pages of which are excerpts from the next edition of my book, which I am working on frantically right now. It's called, going to be called, The Macintosh iLife 06. And yeah, it's a little bit depressing to be the author of a book that has a shelf life shorter than that of a bag of Doritos. I've revised this book every year now since 2002, and such is my lot in life. But I love it because this stuff, photography, music, video, I've been involved in one way or another all my life. So to be able to do this stuff on a Mac and to be able to write about it and pay the mortgage writing about it, it's a dream come true for me. So those late nights and sore wrists will be ahead for me over the next couple of months as I wrap up the new edition and the completely new DVD, but it's worth it because it's a really fun project. So what's new in iLife 06? Well, there is a new application, a new web publishing application called iWeb that basically in some ways replaces some of the web publishing features that existed in some of the earlier versions of the iLife applications. For example, iPhoto. You were always able to create these homepage photo galleries with iPhoto. And they were cool when iPhoto first came out, but they have kind of a late 1990s kind of look to them, and Apple needed to do a little facelift. And with iWeb, they did a little facelift and then some. iWeb allows you to publish web pages of all kinds, starting with static web pages about me, about my dog, about my business, whatever you're publishing a site about. But you can also publish photo album pages directly through iPhoto into iWeb. And those photo album pages, when published on .Mac, can have a very cool new slideshow mode that is far beyond the very static, boring kind of slideshow that the old versions of iPhoto gave you. You can also publish blogs with iWeb. iWeb represents iLife's first foray into the blogging revolution. You can publish a blog containing daily or weekly or however frequently you care to publish rants and raves, dispatches from a vacation, updates, tips for potential business clients, whatever you like. iWeb makes the process of creating and managing blog entries very, very easy. It's not that much harder than creating an email message. And once you've done that, you can publish your blog on Apple's .Mac internet service. While you're at it, you can publish podcasts as well, including ones that you've created in GarageBand. And you can publish video podcasts that you've created in iMovie or created using the new video editing features in GarageBand. And indeed, you will see connections between a lot of the iLife 06 programs and iWeb. From iPhoto, you can publish photo albums. From GarageBand, you can publish podcasts. From iMovie HD, you can publish podcasts. iWeb acts as the online hub for the digital hub, as the conduit between those programs and Apple's .Mac internet service. And you don't have to use .Mac in order to publish content with iWeb. You can save your site as a folder and then upload that to an internet provider of your choice, or even serve it right out of your own Mac using a Mac OS X's built-in web server, Apache. There are a lot of advantages, though, to using .Mac. When you use .Mac will behind the scenes create the RSS feeds that people can use to subscribe to your content, to your podcasts, or to your blogs. And if you don't know what RSS is, again, you need that first look at iLife 06 that I created, because it opens up with a two-page spread that details what RSS is and how it relates to iLife 06, how iLife 06 uses RSS to keep you connected. And iWeb not only keeps you connected, but it also keeps you insulated from the dark technical underbellies of the web publishing scene. You don't have to know HTML, you don't have to know JavaScript to create websites with iWeb. You create sites using the same basic techniques that you'd use to create documents in a program like Pages, and iWeb translates that stuff behind the scenes into modern HTML markup that represents your designs. And in fact, you web jockeys will be interested to know that you can use any font in an iWeb document, and if it isn't one of the standard web fonts, one of the ones that someone is likely to have on their system, like Verdana, iWeb will automatically render that text into a graphic, so even your font formatting is preserved. I'll have more to say about iWeb in future podcasts, but now let's run down the list of some of iLife 06's greatest hits. And let's start with what is probably the single most popular iLife application, iPhoto, the digital photography program. As you can see in my iLife 06 first look, there are under-the-hood improvements in iPhoto 6, and there are new feature improvements in iPhoto 6. Under the hood, Apple has revamped the iPhoto database, the iPhoto library, such that the program can now store roughly 10 times the number of photos that iPhoto 5 could handle. 250,000 photos is the figure that Apple is citing, and that should be enough for me for this year. And to help you navigate a large library, there's a new scroll guide, a little semi-transparent panel that pops up as you scroll up and down through a large iPhoto library, and it displays the roll name and the date from that roll to kind of help you home in on a specific set of photos. The long-standing iPhoto tip that I have been preaching since version 1 came out still applies. iPhoto is still most convenient to use if you view your library by role and then close roles that you aren't actually working with at a given time. Click the little twirly triangle. If your iPhoto library, when you open up iPhoto, has nothing but thousands upon thousands of thumbnails, you are, in my opinion, using iPhoto in the least efficient way. You're making the program work a lot harder, and you're making yourself work a lot harder when you go to find a specific photo. So keep those roles collapsed. Use the scroll guide to home in on specific roles as you're navigating your library. What else is new in iPhoto 6? Full screen editing, for one thing. This is big. People are going to love this. It's the ability to have a photo completely fill your screen with an absolute bare minimum of user interface stuff getting in the way. It takes advantage of every precious pixel on your display. Click the full screen editing button and iPhoto kind of steps into the wings, steps into the shadows, hiding most of its user interface elements, hiding the source list that runs down the left-hand side of the window, most of the buttons that run along the bottom, and displays your photo in a full screen mode. You have a little row of thumbnails along the top of the screen that allow you to access different photos, and there is a toolbar along the bottom that allows you to get to the common editing functions that iPhoto provides, including some of the new ones. And you can even hide those thumbnails and that toolbar if you want to and just see your photo full screen. And then when you move your mouse up to the top of the screen, the thumbnails glide into view, or when you move your mouse down to the bottom of your screen, the toolbar pops up into view. So full screen editing mode is not only great when you want to just really scrutinize a photo, get up in close and examine it to see what kind of retouching or color enhancements or contrast, brightness enhancements it might need, but also when you just want to show off a photo without going into iPhoto slideshow mode. If you like full screen editing mode as much as I do, you will probably want to use iPhoto's preferences command to have iPhoto always open up a photo in full screen mode when you double click on it. And when you're in full screen mode, or even when you aren't, you can also take advantage of this new iPhoto 6 feature called Comparisons. If you shift-click or command-click on multiple photos, you can display up to 8 photos alongside one another to compare them. I always like to take multiple versions of an important shot to make sure that people's eyes are open or that I got the right lighting or whatever. Comparison mode is a great way to look at those similar shots and find the best one of the bunch for printing or for sharing in some way. And all of iPhoto's editing features are available when you're comparing photos. So you can, with iPhoto 6, be editing up to 8 photos at once. I'm not sure I would recommend that, especially if you're working on a small screen, because then each photo is kind of tiny and it kind of defeats the purpose of being able to see photos in full screen view. But you can do it. So full screen editing and photo comparisons, they work beautifully together. You can read about those also in my iLife 06 first look. Also new in iPhoto 6, photocasting. You've heard of podcasting, you've heard of video podcasting. Well, now get ready for photocasting. Photocasting is the ability to publish an album in iPhoto 6 so that others can view it using either their copy of iPhoto 6 or any standard RSS reader that's capable of displaying photos. This is another one of those cool ways that iPhoto ties into Apple's .Mac internet service. Select an album, choose Photocast from the share menu, create a password if you want to just restrict the album to certain people, certain family members, colleagues, whatever, and then click the share button, and iPhoto works together with .Mac to make the photos in that album available to someone else. They can subscribe to your Photocast, and when you update the album, the updates will apply and appear in their newsreader or their copy of iPhoto the next time they update it. When you publish a photocast, iPhoto gives you the option to choose what size image you want to deliver. If you're anticipating that dial-up users are going to be viewing your photos, you might want to use the smaller image size options. If, however, you want to deliver the full high-resolution versions of your photos, you can do that. And iPhoto 6 users who are on the receiving end of your photocast, who have subscribed to your photocast, can take those high-resolution versions and they can make prints, they can order prints, they can use them in books, and so on. So, photocasting. It's a lot more fun than emailing photos back and forth, a lot more immediate than emailing photos back and forth. And it's going to be, I think, a cool way for iPhoto users to stay not only in touch with each other, photographically speaking, but also with Windows users. Because, as I said, any standard RSS newsreader that's capable of displaying photos can subscribe to a photocast. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, you can publish those photocasts through the .Mac internet service on your iWeb homepage. So photocasts are very cool, but let's face it, hard copy is still really pretty important too. And there's some great news on that front in iPhoto 6. iPhoto 5 brought us dramatically enhanced book publishing features, nicer looking book designs, a variety of new book sizes, and options for creating books. While in iPhoto 6, Apple has taken that to the next level, the great book publishing features still remain, but iPhoto 6 now also lets us create greeting cards, postcards, and calendars. And they're gorgeous. The calendars, it broke my heart, actually, because this past holiday season, I made a bunch of 2006 calendars for various friends, and I was working on them kind of in the November time frame, and I read an article in Macworld magazine that talked about different options for creating calendars online, and I ended up using Kodak's EasyShare online service to create my calendars. And let me tell you, it was not easy. It really, to me, illustrates the fundamental flaw to so many of these online photo sharing and photo finishing services. And that flaw is that you have to upload all of your photos first before you can decide which ones you want to appear in which months and where you want them to appear on each month. And the problem with that, I found as I was creating my 2006 calendar using the Kodak EasyShare service, it's not even easy to say, was that you don't always know which photos you want to use until you're actually laying out your calendar and putting certain numbers of photos on certain pages. I would upload maybe 24 or so photos to start with. And then you can put 4 photos on some pages and 3 photos on other pages and things like that. As I would work on the year's calendar, I'd realize, you know, gee, I need more photos. Oh, I've got to go back and I've got to upload a whole bunch of honking photos again and wait for them to transfer before I can even continue with my design tasks. The iPhoto approach, and it's the same approach that Apple has been using for iPhoto books since iPhoto 1 came out, is so much superior, so much easier to use, where you do all your design work locally, on your Mac, on your computer, in front of you with your photos. Then when you're done, you click a buy button and iPhoto uploads the photos to the printing service, which prints the books. To me, that is just such a more sensible, logical way to work because you don't have to plan in advance which photos you want to upload. I ended up uploading a lot of photos that I didn't use, and I ended up having to go back and upload additional photos that I changed my mind and decided to use when I did the Kodak EasyShare thing. And beyond that, the design of the Kodak calendars really wasn't anything to write home about. The iPhoto 6 calendars are gorgeous. They have design themes that in many cases are very similar to those of the iPhoto books. There are baby boy and baby girl themes for you new parents. And the themes are just so much nicer looking than the stuff that the Kodak EasyShare service provided. You can have full bleeds. Photos can extend all the way to the edges of the pages. Kodak can't seem to do that. You can have photos appear on specific dates. Just drag photos to a given date. And, you know, your kid is born on August 19th. Drag the baby photo to August 19th and his or her photo will appear on that date. Kodak doesn't let you do that. You can customize text within your calendar. Put Sophie's birthday on August 19th. Put the date of your next dentist appointment on February 17th. Kodak doesn't let you do that. And if you use Apple's iCal calendaring software, you can have iPhoto import calendars from iCal and put those dates on your calendars. And when you take that capability and look at sites like iCalShare.com, which allow you to subscribe to thousands of calendars in every imaginable topic, you can see how you can create some pretty amazing custom calendars with iPhoto 6. They're gorgeous. They're printed on a nice heavy stock. They measure 8x10 inches when they're closed. And Apple used this kind of cool matte dry ink that has a really nice look to it. And the photos are printed at a resolution of 300 dots per inch, by the way. And this is an interesting topic that came up over the course of the last year. I did a blog post on MaciLife.com about how to hack iPhoto's preferences file to increase the resolution that iPhoto uses when creating books. And it was a great tip. A lot of people wrote in saying, thank you, this really helped the quality of my books. Well, you will be interested to know that for books and the other forms of hard copy that you can order through iPhoto, Apple is now delivering those images at a resolution of 300 dots per inch. They're applying a little bit of compression to the images so that you don't end up with huge file sizes that take forever to transfer when you click buy book or buy calendar. But the compression matched up with a higher resolution delivers a really nice high quality image without a correspondingly huge increase in file size that iPhoto has to transfer to Apple's printing service. Now, as for the postcards and greeting cards that you can create with iPhoto 6, they're gorgeous too. You have, as with books and calendars, a variety of design themes that you can choose from. When you are printing a postcard, you can have the back side of the postcard either be filled with text, like a birth announcement or something like that, or an invitation to a party, or you can have iPhoto print it in a kind of a postcard mailing format, complete with the little box in the upper right corner that says place postage here. Postcards always include envelopes, so you can either use the envelope or just mail the postcard as is if you get it in the mailing format. And the greeting cards themselves are 5x7 inches folded, and they also include envelopes. And of course, as with iPhoto books, you can print calendars, postcards, greeting cards on your own local printer if you care to. And in speaking of your local printer, there is a new checkbox in the iPhoto print dialog box that allows you to create borderless prints regardless of what the aspect ratio of your original photo is as it relates to the page size that you're using. Classic problem in earlier versions of iPhoto. If you printed a typical digital camera photo on a, for example, 4x6 inch sheet of paper, you would often end up with some uneven white borders because the aspect ratio, the height to width proportions of the photo, didn't match the proportions of the printer. Well, now there's a zoom and crop checkbox in the print dialog box of iPhoto 6. Check that box, and iPhoto 6 will automatically blow up the photo a little bit. You'll lose a little bit of the top or bottom or the left or right sides, depending on your proportions and your orientation. I mean, you won't lose them from your original photo, but they won't appear in your hard copy. But you will get a full borderless print. So one of those little checkboxes that will just save hours of aggravation and frustration. And there are some other little goodies in iPhoto 6. There's a new effects panel that is the gateway to some new image enhancement effects that Apple has added. For example, the ability to create a vignette around an image or to blur the edges of an image to create kind of an arty look. There are some new color enhancement features in the adjust panel, and some of the older effects, the existing effects like black and white, sepia tone, one-click enhance, those have moved from the main iPhoto edit toolbar into this effects panel. There's also another cool feature in iPhoto 6, and that's the ability to display a slideshow from a book. You heard that correctly. You can create a book in iPhoto and then display the pages of that book in a slideshow mode. Very cool. Talk about that also in some future podcasts. But that is basically iPhoto 6 at a glance. It alone, in my opinion, is worth the upgrade to iLife 06, if only for the ability to A, store more photos, and B, get the great new hard copy options, like the calendar printing, the greeting cards, the postcards, and easy borderless printing on your own home printer. Wow. Well, we're 24 minutes into this podcast, and so far I have covered only two of the six iLife 06 applications. We'll talk about the rest of them, but first let's take a little music break, and after we listen to this, I'll describe what it is we heard. You're listening to The Digital Hub from MaciLife.com. I'm Jim Hyde. is this that we're listening to? The newest release from some South African world music band? No, this is GarageBand that we're listening to. Specifically, we're listening to one of the demo songs that comes with the latest addition to Apple's Jampack library, those add-on libraries of loops and instruments for GarageBand and other programs like Soundtrack Pro and Apple's Logic series that can work with Apple Loops. The latest member of the Jampack family is called World Music, and true to its name, it provides over 3,000 loops and software instruments that address a huge variety of world music genres, from South African to Latin to Celtic to Asian, Middle Eastern, and more. Let's focus on video, specifically on iMovie HD 6. This is the new version of iMovie HD, and the top story here is themes. We've seen themes in other iLife programs. There are themes in iPhoto for choosing book designs, calendar designs, card designs. There are themes in iDVD for choosing the designs of your DVD's menus. There are templates in iWeb, which are a lot like themes, but they're called templates. Now iMovie HD brings themes to the video editing party. So what's a theme? It is a pre-designed motion graphic that you can customize and then add to your video project. If you've watched any TV at all in the last couple of decades, you've seen motion graphics. These are those pieces of visual eye candy that appear on the screen, elegant moving backgrounds, swirling text that shimmers and appears on the screen. They add a lot of visual spice to a video. They can be very time-consuming to produce. Typically, people use programs like Apple's Final Cut Pro, Apple's Motion, or Adobe's After Effects to create these motion graphics. Well, iMovie HD now includes a family of four motion graphics themes that you can customize and use in your own videos. This is, I should add, one of the few features in iLife 06 that requires the very latest versions of Mac OS X. Most of the iLife 06 programs run under Mac OS 10.3.9 or later, but to use themes in iMovie HD 6, you must be running the latest version of Tiger, that's 10.4.4. The themes themselves are very easy to use. Each family of themes has several types of theme elements within it. For example, there is an opener, something that might be the main opening title of your video. There's something called a bumper, which is kind of a short little separator between scenes. There's a lower third, which is a graphic that, true to its name, appears on the lower third of the frame and is often used to identify a place or a person. There are chapter theme elements, which you might use if you're going to be delivering your video on a DVD and you'd like to start each chapter with a motion graphic. And there are theme elements for doing closing credits. And using all of them is pretty straightforward. You click the themes button, choose the element that you want. Some of the elements have room for additional text, like titles, like closing credits, like lower third text. You type that text, click the apply button, and iMovie HD renders out a video clip and adds it to the timeline. And that video clip is just like any other video clip in iMovie HD, in that you can apply additional effects to it, edit it, trim it, move it around on the timeline, and so forth. So themes obviously add sizzle, but what about the structure part? Well, if you think about using themes and theme elements as you edit your movie, chances are that's going to make you think more about the overall structure of the movie, how you're going to tell your story, how you're going to divide up and present your shots. So by employing themes as you work, by using bumpers between minor scene changes, by using chapter theme elements between major scene changes, between day one and day two of your vacation, for example, there's a good chance that you're going to tell a stronger story. So themes are the most visually significant addition to iMovie HD 6. What else is there? Well, real-time video effects and transitions. In every version of iMovie to date, when you add a transition or an effect, iMovie HD has to render it before you can see it on your screen. That's that time-consuming, thumb-twiddling process where the little red bar marches down along the bottom of the clip and iMovie works to create the video frames that represent the transition or the effect that you've created. In iMovie HD 6, Apple has taken advantage of the core video technology that's built into Mac OS X to allow you to see that stuff right away without having to wait for your Mac to render it first. Now, the clips still do have to render, and that happens in the background as it has in previous versions of iMovie, but you don't have to wait for the rendering to take place to see, is that really the Ken Burns zoom effect that I want, or is that transition long enough? Things like that you see immediately thanks to Core Video in Mac OS X. A related side benefit of this is that the preview area for things like the Ken Burns effect or for transitions is now the full iMovie monitor window, that large portion of the iMovie window that shows your video. In previous iMovie versions, you may recall, when you did a Ken Burns move or you selected a transition, you saw this little postage stamp-sized preview up in the upper right corner of the iMovie window. Well, now that real-time preview appears right in the iMovie monitor window. So not only do you wait less, but what you see is bigger. So it gives you better feedback and lets you plan your Ken Burns moves in particular with a lot more precision. Now, iMovie HD 6 also has some of those under-the-hood structural enhancements. For example, you can now have multiple open projects at the same time. In previous versions of iMovie, you were always limited to just having one movie project open at once, which made it kind of tough if you wanted to do a couple of different versions of an edit and then compare the two of them to see which one you liked best, or if you wanted to just grab a clip from one video that you finished to use in a new video that you're working on. In iMovie HD, you can have multiple projects open on your screen at once and drag clips from one project to the other. You want to make sure you have plenty of disk space if you're going to be doing this, because when you do drag a clip from one project to the other, iMovie HD 6 makes a copy of that clip in your second project. But this ability to have multiple projects open at the same time is great for being able to compare different versions of an edit to see which one you like best, or to be able to snag a clip or some audio or something that you used in an older project and apply it to a newer project. Now, sound also gets an upgrade in iMovie HD 6. There is a new audio effects panel that gives you 8 effects. These rely on Apple's Core Audio technology, another part of Mac OS X. There's a graphic equalizer, basically a fancy set of bass and treble controls. You iTunes users know all about that. There's a reverb, digital delay, a pitch changer, that's kind of fun, high pass and low pass and band pass filters, which allow you to very selectively filter out certain parts of the frequency spectrum, and there's a great noise reducer filter that does an amazing job of filtering out things like wind noise and the camera noise that you often hear with a lot of inexpensive camcorders, where the microphones actually pick up the sound of the motors in the camcorder. Here are a couple of examples. Let's listen to the reverb example first. This is some audio that I've recorded directly into iMovie, and now I'm going to add the reverb effect. This is an example of the reverb effect that's built into iMovie HD. There are a few different room sizes and reverb configurations that you can use to add that rich reverberation sound to your movies. So that's kind of fun. That'll put a whole new dimension on your kids' piano recital movie, as could this next effect that I'm going to demonstrate for you. It's called the pitch changer effect, and true to its name, it allows you to change the pitch of a piece of audio. This is the pitch changer effect at work.
Now you're hearing it kind of closer to the chipmunk setting.
And now you're hearing it closer to the monster setting. That's right, one end of the slider says monsters.
The other end says chipmunks.
Which apparently means that monsters can't be chipmunks, nor vice versa. And whether you prefer chipmunks or monsters, when you're done with your movie, you can ship it off to iWeb for publishing on your website as a video podcast or QuickTime movie through Apple's .Mac internet service. You can also export a version of your movie for a fifth generation iPod, for a video iPod, so that you can watch your video on an iPod. So that's a quick look at iMovie HD 6. Let's take a quick look at iDVD 6. The big news here is a new feature called Magic iDVD, and it allows you to throw together a DVD faster than ever before. Magic iDVD gives you this kind of one-stop shopping window where you choose a theme, then add movies, then add slideshows if you like. You can even build a slideshow one image at a time if that's your idea of a good time, although it's a lot more efficient to throw your images into an album in iPhoto and then simply add that album to your DVD. The Magic iDVD feature does a lot of work behind the scenes for you. For example, most of the iDVD menu themes have drop zones, those little areas where you can throw movies or photos to add that custom imagery to your menus, while Magic iDVD will automatically populate those drop zones for you with the movies or the photos that you've added to the Magic iDVD window. And after you've specified what media you want to include on your DVD, there's a burn button that allows you to go straight to the burn process. Click it, iDVD creates a project for you with all the menus in place, and then immediately switches into burn mode. If you'd rather check your work first, check out your menus, customize your menus, fine-tune them, click the Create Project button instead, and then iDVD simply makes a project that you can then customize as if you'd started out from square one and built the DVD by hand yourself. Magic iDVD is a very useful feature for quickly throwing together a DVD or even just for creating something that you use as a starting point, for having iDVD do the grunt work behind creating the menus and the submenus and the buttons, and then giving you something that you can sculpt and fine-tune to your tastes. What else is new in iDVD 6? A wider view. iDVD 6 is the first version of iDVD that allows you to create widescreen 16:9 format DVDs. Now, these are not high-definition DVDs. If you follow this business at all, you know that the standards for high-definition DVDs are still very much in flux. There are two battling camps, and a lot of people are saying that 2006 is going to be a replay of the Betamax versus VHS format wars that we saw back in the 1980s. I hope not. In any case, iDVD 6 will at least allow you to take advantage of every pricey pixel of that 16:9 widescreen television that's hanging on the wall in your media room. You can add 16:9 content from iMovie HD or elsewhere, and iDVD 6 will burn it into a 16:9 widescreen format. iDVD 6 also includes a whole new set of menu design themes. We see this every time a new version of iDVD comes out. Apple delivers a new set of menu themes. They're always beautiful, no different in iDVD 6, except that the themes are available in both 16:9 widescreen format and standard 4:3 format. And now in iDVD 6, each theme is a family of coordinated menus. You get a main menu, you get a chapter menu for doing scene selection buttons, and you get an extras menu for content like slideshows or the director's commentary that you're going to add to your iMovie HD project. We saw something similar in previous versions of iDVD, but in iDVD 6, Apple has taken it to the next level by building it into all of the themes and by providing this little disclosure triangle that allows you to quickly open and close a theme to see the submenu designs that are included with it. And it's worth mentioning that the look and feel of iDVD 6 is quite a bit different than that of earlier versions. iDVD always used to have this little drawer that slid out of the left-hand side of the iDVD window. That's where you'd choose themes and customize menus and change fonts, that sort of thing. That drawer's gone. And in its place is a set of panels that appear along the right-hand side of the iDVD window as you switch into different modes of the program. And each of those authoring modes is enhanced in iDVD 6 in one degree or another. For example, the map view, that big picture organizational chart kind of view, has more authoring features in iDVD 6. Similarly, when you're customizing a menu, you now have more customizing options. You can customize the button highlight color, for example. There are more button styles to choose from. You can even mix and match different button types on a single menu, although you may risk a visit from the menu design police if you go too far on that front. Now, iDVD 6 is also the first version of iDVD to provide official Apple support for a variety of third-party DVD burners. So if you don't have a SuperDrive in your Mac, or if you have a second DVD burner, an external third-party one from a company like LaCie, you can, chances are, burn your DVD directly within iDVD when you've finished with it. So that's iDVD 6 at a glance. Now let's wrap up with a quick overview of what's new in GarageBand 3. Now, as Madge, the Palmolive-using manicurist on the TV commercials, used to say, you're soaking in it. By that, I mean, I've used GarageBand 3 to create this entire podcast, recording the audio tracks directly into GarageBand 3, using some of the jingles, the music beds that are included with GarageBand 3, and taking advantage of this fabulous new time-saving feature called ducking. And ducking has nothing to do with waterfowl. It is an audio term that basically means lowering the volume of, for example, some background music so that it doesn't overwhelm a narrator, someone like me. When you use the automatic ducking feature in GarageBand, GarageBand will automatically lower the volume of some background music when you start talking. If you pause for a moment or two, GarageBand will automatically raise the volume level of that background music. It's a huge time saver for doing things like voiceovers over opening theme music, for example. We heard an example at the beginning of the podcast. Let's listen to another example, and along the way, we'll audition another one of the music jingles that comes with GarageBand 3. So here's one of the jingles that comes with GarageBand 3. This one's called Lazy Day. And as you can see, when I began speaking, GarageBand lowered the volume of the music so that it didn't overwhelm my voice. And during that pause, you probably noticed that GarageBand raised the volume of the music. That's the automatic ducking feature at work. Now, most of the music beds or jingles that come with GarageBand come in various lengths, 7 seconds long, 15 seconds long, 30 seconds long. So, for example, you could use a 30-second version to begin and end your podcast, then maybe one of the 7-second or 15-second versions as a bumper in between main sections of your podcast. Now, in addition to those music jingles, GarageBand 3 also includes over 200 sound effects and sound bites. Stingers and drops, they're sometimes called in the radio business, that you can include in your show. And you can even play them directly from your Mac's keyboard as you do your show by opening up GarageBand's musical typing window or by pressing the keys on a MIDI keyboard. I have the musical typing window open here, and I've got the radio sounds track enabled for recording. I'll just hit a couple of keys on my keyboard and give you an idea of what some of these stingers sound like. Let's check traffic and weather. You know, one of those. Lots of great ear candy in GarageBand 3. There are also some useful new filters that reduce background noise, enhance the sound of a microphone, and add compression to make a voice sound more professional, more radio-like. When you open up a new podcast in GarageBand, you get default tracks with presets for male and female voices, and those presets are optimized to enhance the sound of those voices. And then there's the iChat angle. With GarageBand 3, you can record and conduct remote interviews with one or more guests using Apple's iChat software. GarageBand will record the audio from the iChat participants, and if they have an iSight camera connected to their Mac, it will also grab a video frame when they begin speaking, add that frame to the podcast track so that that person's photo will appear in the enhanced podcast. I'll be using that feature a lot in future editions of the Digital Hub. Now, for creating enhanced podcasts, like this one, ones that have synchronized artwork that displays along with the audio, GarageBand 3 provides a podcast track that allows you to drag photos in from the media browser. There's a media browser in GarageBand 3 that looks and works very much like the ones in the other iLife programs. So you can drag photos in from your iPhoto library, put them in the podcast track, resize them so that they're the length that you want, and then they'll play back along with the audio of the podcast. You can also use the podcast track to create markers that your podcast listeners and viewers can use to navigate through the sections of your podcast, exactly as I've done with this one. And those markers can also contain web addresses, or URLs, that allow your podcast's listeners to go to certain web pages as your podcast plays back within iTunes. This is what is meant by an enhanced podcast. It's not just audio. It's an audio-visual presentation with an optional internet angle. Now, GarageBand is more than just about podcasts, of course. It's also now about movie scoring. You can bring in movies from iMovie or other video sources and then add sound effects, narration, background music, additional audio of whatever kind you like. When you're done, you can send the resulting movie to iDVD for burning onto a DVD or send it to iWeb for publishing on the web. Well, that's GarageBand 3 at a glance, and it's going to wrap up our look at iLife 06 at a glance, as well as this edition of the Digital Hub. There's so very much more to talk about in iLife 06, but if I talked about it all in one podcast, I'd run out of disk space, I'd never get my book and DVD done, and I'd probably put you into a deep coma. So we're going to save the rest for future editions of the Digital Hub. To learn when the next edition of the Digital Hub becomes available, keep an eye on my website, macilife.com. You can subscribe to its RSS feed and get the latest as soon as I post it. In the meantime, if you haven't grabbed the PDF, First Look at iLife 06, head to macilife.com now and grab it. On the back cover of the PDF, you'll find details on how you can order the next edition of my book and DVD, the Macintosh iLife 06, at a 35% discount, plus get free U.S. domestic ground shipping. Until next time, thanks a million for downloading and listening to this podcast. I'd be very interested in your feedback. Send me an email, jim@macilife.com. Let me know what you liked. Let me know what you didn't like. Let me know what you'd like to see covered in future editions of the Digital Hub. And with that, I'm going to stop talking and let you listen to my big brother, Bill Hyde. He's a phenomenal jazz piano player. That's him playing in the background. I recorded him recently, using GarageBand, of course, and now he wants a Mac. This has been episode 1 of the Digital Hub. I'm Jim Hyde. Until next time, thanks for listening, and have a nice iLife.